One pair of hands on the mountains, one pair of hands on the sea, one pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
setting up the Federal Reserve. Money changers. Got the message? Colonial leaders that assembled in Philadelphia to replace the Articles of the Confederation of the Constitution. Governor Morris headed the final draft of the Constitution. He knew the motivation of the bankers. Well, has he had once worked for them. Governor Morris, along with his former boss Robert Morris and Alexander Hamilton, had presented the original plan for the Bank of North America to the Continental Congress in the final year of the Revolution. Fortunately, Governor Morris, by this time, had discovered his conscience defected from Robert Morris. And in a letter to James Madison, dated July the 2nd, he stated, the rich will strive to establish their dominion and enslave the rest, as they always did, they always will. They will have the same effect here as elsewhere, if we do not, by the power of government, keep them and the proper spheres. James Madison was opposed to a privately owned central bank after seeing the exploitation of the people by the Bank of England. Thomas Jefferson was also against it, and Jefferson later made the following statement. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, and then by deflation, the banks and the corporations which grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. Sadly, the words of wisdom of Governor Morris and Thomas Jefferson fell on deaf ears. Alexander Hamilton, Robert Morse, and Thomas Wyman convinced the bulk of the delegates of the Constitutional Convention not to give Congress the power to issue paper money. They were aware that most of the delegates were still reeling from the inflation of the paper money during the Revolution. These delegates also had short memories and didn't remember well the colonial script that had indebted them before the war, or they did not turn to the wisdom of Benjamin Franklin's words in 1764. As a result, the Constitution was silent on the issue of paper money and by the government of the citizens and for the citizens, leaving wide open a door for the money changers to walk through one more time. Less than 3 years after the Constitution had been signed, the newly appointed First Secretary of the Treasury, Alexander Hamilton, proposed a bill to the Congress calling for a new private-owned central bank. Interestingly, Alexander Hamilton's first job after graduating from law school in 1782 was an aide to Robert Morris, a man who had written in 1781 stating that a national debt, if it is not excessive, will be to us a national blessing. The three main players behind the Bank of North America, Robert Morris, Alexander Hamilton, and the bank's president, Thomas Willen. These men did not give up, and Alexander Hamilton, now Secretary of the Treasury, a man who described Robert Morris as his mentor, managed to get a new privately owned central bank passed and authorized by the new Congress. The new bank, this is a bank now, was called the First Bank of the United States and was exactly the same as the Bank of North America, whom Robert Morse had controlled. Thomas Weldon, again, was the bank's president, and only the name had changed with the same three men running the First Bank of the United States. It came into being after a year of intense debate and was given a 20-year charter. It was given a monopoly on printing United States currency, even through 80% of its stock was held by private investors. Ladies and gentlemen, from the word go, America has been swindled by the money changers. As with the Bank of England and the old Bank of North America, these private investors never paid the full agreed amount to invest in their shares. What happened was that through the fraudulent system of fractional reserve banking, the government's 20% stake, which was $2 million in cash, was used to make loans to its private investors to purchase the other 80% stake. For this risk-free investment that the government, that represents the people, also means the people, paid to invest this $8 million for the investors who loaned the money out, like the Bank of England and the Bank of North America. The First Bank of the United States was deliberately chosen to hide from the common people the fact that it was privately owned, and the names of the investors in the bank were never revealed, although it is widely believed that the Rothschilds were the main source of power behind this bank. Interestingly, in 1790, when Alexander Hamilton proposed this bank in Congress, Mr. Rothschild made the following statement from his bank in Frankfurt. Let me issue and control a nation's money, and I care not who writes the laws. The First Bank of the United States has been controlling the American money supply for 5 years. And during that time, the American government had borrowed $8,200,000 from the central bank. And prices in the country had increased by 72%. In relation to this, Thomas Jefferson, then Secretary of State, stated, I wish it were possible to obtain a single amendment to our Constitution, taking from the federal government their power of borrowing. Mr. Rothschild sends his son Nathan, at the age of 21, to England with a sum of money equivalent to $20,000 to set up a money-changing system. And in France, the Bank of France was set up. However, Napoleon decided France had to break free from the debt, and he therefore never trusted the bank. He declared that when a government is dependent on bankers for money, it is the bankers and not the government lenders that are in control. The hand that gives is among the hand that takes. Money has no motherland. Financiers are without patriotism and without decency. Their sole object is to gain. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Napoleon was a smart man. The Bank of England quickly rose to oppose Napoleon and financed every nation in his path. As usual, profiteering from war. Germany, Austria, and then finally Russia all went heavily into debt in a futile attempt to stop Napoleon. 30-year-old Nathan Rothschild, head of the English Bank of the family in London, personally takes charge of a plan to smuggle a much-needed shipment of gold through France to Spain to finance an attack by the Duke of Wellington on Napoleon. A bill was put into Congress to renew the charter of the First Bank of the United States in 1811. The legislation of both Pennsylvania and Virginia passes resolutions asking Congress to kill the bank. The national press openly attacks the bank, calling it a swindle, a vulture, a viper, and a cobra. Nathan Rothschild gets in on the act and makes the following revealing statement as to who really is behind the First Bank of the United States. Either the application for renewal of the charter is granted, or the United States will find itself involved in a most disastrous war. When the smoke cleared, the renewal bill was cleared by a single vote in the House, became deadlocked in the Senate. At this point, America's fourth president, James Madison, who was in the White House, was a staunch opponent of the bank and sent his vice president, George Clinton, to break a tie in the Senate, which killed the bank. And as promised by Nathan Rothschild, because the charter of the First Bank of the United States was not renewed, thousands had to die and the British had to attack America. However, as the British are busy fighting Napoleon, they are unable to mount much of an assault, and the war ends in 1814 with America undefeated. Ladies and gentlemen, are we sure that America was undefeated? I believe that America still is under the rule of the bankers. Why? Simply because the bankers, who are privately owned, are now in control of the international money supply that America gains from the advantage of doing their business along with the things that we know as the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve, ladies and gentlemen, is the evil in America. It has bankrupted America big time. You know why? Because they own all of the capital where those who control America, they are giving us the debt by constantly draining America into debt. The same thing is happening right today in our Congress. One side is threatening to limit the debt ceiling where we can borrow no more money. The other side is fighting against it. Do you know what side the money changers would be on? Remember, they are the vultures that devour the lifeblood of a nation by creating debt. Debt slowly kills the nation that succumbs to the international bankers. Now, the international bankers have got so involved here in the last days that their wealth has bought power. And now with the international bankers trying to take over America, move America to the center where they can completely, if they can control it, destroy it. The steps are just the same as Mr. Rothschild threatened America with war and delivered. We have never recovered. We formed the Federal Reserve. We went from the frying pan to the fire. And with the international bankers in control, they have now gained power and control over the people. Now, if you don't like what they do, number one, they invoke an external and internal threat against you. The IRS and the power that they wield put you in prison. You didn't pay your taxes. That's worse than murder, theft, or anything else. When you steal from the... Everybody says, well, you're stealing from the government. You're stealing not from the government, but the international bankers, the money changers, who have now developed a paramilitary force, trained them to come in lawfully as they subvert the rule of law. And they establish these secret prisons, and they'll put you in them. After that, they have developed a paramilitary force that has the power to come in and arrest you, even to put you under surveillance, the ordinary citizens of the nation. We have to fear. And when the people fear the government, we're no longer a free people. They infiltrate the groups, various groups around the nation, and they report back. Every group that gathers, whatever the intention, you can believe one thing, there's an informant in the group. Usually the one you like. They detain and hold citizens with laws that they have passed as they target key individuals that threaten them because they control the press. The press is always in their favor and people believe what they read. And those that dissent, cause dissent, are treated as treasoners, those who commit treason against our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a time of trouble. America is at its end. Are we going to recover? Are we going to have a new beginning? I doubt it. You know why? Because right now, with the things that they're doing, which is number one, to create the chaos, to bring in hard times. You see, when they create a crisis, it's real when they create them. Their profit is war. So they eventually want wars and rumors of wars. The United States makes more money selling arms to other countries that it then goes and fights against. It's a vicious cycle. The money changers who sit behind the scenes taking advantage of those that would sell arms, the Bush family, long noted because they got their wealth, the Clintons, running drugs, something illegal. We're in a sad time, ladies and gentlemen. America is a nation that is ruled by the evil ones. We should notice that this nation is taking the wrong steps toward disaster. Can we pray and can we turn this nation around? You say, oh, I doubt it. Let me tell you something. Yahweh can turn this nation around in one day. Debt is what got us into this situation, and the debt created wealth to those who make money off of debt. Now again, it's the money changers. Did you know that our Messiah suffered at the hands of the money changers? When he spoke against them, when he went in and cleaned them out of the temple, they hated him. When you get in a man's pocketbook, especially those who are the snakes that thrive on debt. That's how they make their money. They don't work. They create debt out of thin air. The Federal Reserve is a debt-producing group of international money changers. And the money always, without end, winds up in the hands of the money changers. Now why? Simply because that's the way it's always worked. It worked in the days of the Messiah. They killed him. Do you believe he knows the system? Do you believe that he knows how to end this debt-making, money-changing system that has worked in favor of Satan and his agents as they work overtime? It's no secret that the United States economy is in a crisis mode. Have you pulled into the gas pumps? We're locked in a recession. Inflation will begin to take its toll. That all favors the money changers. We have out-of-control food prices. That's in favor of the money changers. Foreclosure on property. You won't believe the amount of foreclosures that the international banking community will say the bank owns it. You know, that sounds so sanitized. You don't know what's behind the money changers that created the bank, that created the evil system that was able to create these skyrocketing prices, the lack of jobs. You see, they make times good for you. You start borrowing money. That's right up their alley. You invest heavily. You work hard to make your note payments. You pay and pay and pay and pay. And finally, they turn the system around one more time and they drain your investments. All of the money that you paid for your property, they tighten the noose and squeeze it out of your hands into theirs. That's how that they have unparalleled access to global markets, and they can see, it's like inside traders, all the baby boomers that worked hard, born in World War II, 40 years later they're going to retire. That's when we had the failure of the banking system. The financial system crashed. They were broke. The money changers on Wall Street had no more money. Somehow, we appointed one of the foxes off of Wall Street to become the financial czar. And what did he do, Mr. Poulton? Well, he recommended that we bail out Wall Street. Well, we bailed them out. Well, when Wall Street got bailed out, they gave great sums of bonuses to the upper heads or the structure of the pyramid they created. And the banking system began to prosper. But you never recovered your money. You lost it without recovering it. And that's how they diversified the assets of your hard work And the currencies that were set to take off didn't take off. They plummeted, lost your value of your 401ks and your savings accounts at a time when Wall Street became the great robbers. And they took the wealth. It's like a never-ending black hole. We fall for it year after year after year. Happened in 1929. It happened at the end of 2008. Now we're trying to climb, America's trying to climb out of its tidal wave of debt. We're demanding to cut the spending. You think for a moment that the international money changers are going to let Congress get away with quitting borrowing money from them or creating debt? Where do we get our money to operate on when we borrow? Guess who? America is out of line. America is in trouble. America, this time, may not recover. The economy is in such a crisis that they have created the international bankers. And now this chaos is going to come, what I have long predicted, World War III, the ultimate war to rob the assets of those who have worked hard for their money, so hard for their money. And with the skyrocketing gas prices, oil going into over $200 a barrel very shortly, probably, according to Mr. Know-it-all, Mr. Lindsay. He knows. Where did he get his information from? From the international bankers. We're going to have a war, he says. Well, isn't that what I've read tonight, the history of how to steal the money by the money changers, by creating a debt, an artificial debt that you didn't make, but they expect you to pay the debt. They charge you usury, which again is against Yahweh's laws. But why do we have to pay before they're losing our money? You know, if somebody was carrying your money around and they lost it, you would demand an explanation. Here they don't even have to give anyone an explanation because they appoint these financiers, Mr. Timothy Geithner. He's the financial czar of America right now, put in charge by Mr. Obama, who hired all of his financial observers from Wall Street. Ladies and gentlemen, when the fox is running the hen house is going to suffer. America has suffered during the Obama administration and will continue to suffer until he is ousted. But when he is ousted, it'll be too late. America will be almost at the end of its lifeblood. All of it sucked out by these vipers who have bitten deep into our lifeblood. These are the leeches that have drained America. What are we going to do? We're going to go to the Third World War. It's going to be great suffering. We have to get rid of a lot of people. You'll be one of them. You know why? Because they don't need you. They've used you. They have took your wealth. They've got an insurance policy on you when you die. Don't you think it might be better to let you go on and they can collect the insurance? You ain't taking a face in America. You're not doing those things to stand in their way. So you have been eliminated from your position. That's planned, ladies and gentlemen. It's something that smart men have looked at a long time. They stole your body when you was born by taking your birth certificate, and they charged you at your death. They collect. You don't collect. That's the reason that you don't have a birth certificate. And the bankers, the money changers that have gone wild here in the life of 40 years, they know that it's the end . It's the final Waterloo. So man's progress is not measured by the reaches of his science, but by the limits of his superstition. We have long failed for as dumb sheep. We have failed for the money changers.
Well, we don't have no money to loan you.
Why don't you have?
Well, we quit printing it.
So we create hard times. Don't cost them anything to print money. They tell you they don't have any money to loan you. That's when they decide to tighten it down so they can steal your assets that you have been talked into bringing your money and putting it in their bank and give them a legal license to steal or to escape being held accountable for the things that they do. Nobody calls these Wall Street bankers. They're legal robbers. Do you hear anybody crying about it? Since the 208, they went ahead and borrowed the money from you. They extended the debt ceiling. You didn't realize that we're in debt. Your grandchildren may realize it when somebody has to start paying it back. Nations are already coming over here and claiming their assets. We don't have enough to pay them. So we got to give them the state parks or the federal land. They done laid claim to it, ladies and gentlemen. They got license and permits. The bailout from 1776 until the present 2008 has worked like a charm. The fearful and the superstitious keep falling for the same old political tricks with the international bankers manipulating the political parties. You think they're your friends. Look at Mr. Ron Paul. Everybody thinks he's a conservative. He's one of them. He works for them. Yeah, he takes the opposite side. They know what you want to hear, and they always have somebody on the block in Congress so that they can be there to be the vent or the venter. They vent for you. They say what you'd like to say. The only difference between him and you, they would kill you for saying it, but they let him live because he's one of them. Don't be fooled by these politicians who claim they're standing up to fight for you. They're standing up to fight for the money changers or the international bankers. And this has gone on, ladies and gentlemen, since 1776, right here in America. Nothing's going to change. It's going to get worse. 1 in 10 people in America, the richest country, they say, in the world. Going to be hungry at night. But we still appropriate money for these countries to come over here and kill us. It's almost funny. If it wasn't so real, we could all laugh about it and say, well, we are fools. We have failed for it again. We're fearful and superstitious. We cannot discern what's going on. Look at the gangs. Look at the law enforcement. Every city that you live close to, drive-by shootings, drug, every country, every township in America has gone to the dogs. We're going to have martial law. Is this going to be the next? Yes. When they create enough chaos, then the next logical step, and they're going to seem righteous. You want to be safe, don't you? Well, yes. Bring those jackbooted thugs in here with their AK-47s or whatever they carry and protect our rights. That them take, I'll give my guns for them to protect me. That's our thinking, and that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to be demanded. The next thing you know, you'll be giving up your guns. When you give up your guns, the next thing, you'll be herded into work detail, work gangs. You'll be put in these prisons that they've got built all over America, and the money changers will figure out real quick on what to do with you. They'll start cashing in their birth certificates. They'll demand your death. Coming soon to a neighborhood near you. When the world's in a chaotic situation, when you're full of fear, when you're hungry, when you're standing at the control food distribution centers around the world, the nation, like it was in the 1929 crash, this time it's going to be worse. That's going to pale in comparison. Third World War coming up, ladies and gentlemen. I prophesy it. Talked about it, and it's all because of the money changers, those evil bastards who have created right and wrong, left and right, up and down, in and out. They have took the opposites. It's the end of America in view. We are the nation that leads in pornography and evil and disgrace and sin. Why? Because we are a wicked, yet we're the most religious. Do you know it's religion that's killed hundreds of millions of people in the past? The truth. World War I, World War II, and World War III coming up. Get ready for famine. Already they're planting the seeds of famine. Every day they are making it more difficult to purchase food. You're going to see the prophecy of a loaf of bread costing you $30 before it's over with. Are we ready for these things? Well, let's hope so. Let's come together and pray and seek His face. And Yahweh can step in tomorrow. If my people, which are called by my name, should pray and humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, we could turn this world around. We could put Yahweh in charge, and then the evil would flee or be destroyed. The international bankers and the money changers that killed him. He knows how to battle them, ladies and gentlemen. We need to turn to him. We're going to have a festival here at the King's Gate next month called the Festival of the Second Passover. There's a lot of mystery taught behind it, a lot of biblical explanations. You know, if we turn back to the mysteries, solve the things in the Bible that's to our advantage to seek out the ways of righteousness and turn from our wicked ways, that's what the Bible said, to turn from the political agenda that only reaps a whirlwind for those that's caught up in it. We've got 24-hour news stations that talk endlessly. What's happening in Washington? Who cares? We know that it's nothing but the controlled money changers that is controlling those who are politically adept at stealing our money and making us believe that it comes from someone else. Let's wake up. We'll see you next month, starting on the 15th now, here at the King's Gate. We will be in festival on the 15th, the night of the 15th. We'll meet for an old-fashioned foot washing. That's how we get things done. Simply coming together and washing feet. And then the next day, we meet again, and then we kill the lamb. And by killing the lamb, we begin to remember our Messiah one more time. How many more times are we going to meet until Yahweh says, through that great angel that will put right one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and raise his hand and swear by him that lives forever that time will be no more. We won't have to worry about the money changers. What a happy day. Praise Yahweh. We'll see you then next month. Right, Pastor Buddy. 568. Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee. Don't worry about the money changers. You'll have the poor among you for a long time. But he must have loved us because he made a lot of us. Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Send us an offering. We need your help. Our assembly, our chapel, the Kingsgate Chapel, we named it. We don't have it finished. We are behind schedule because we're needing funds to get it done. We'd appreciate those of you who would take time out to send it here in the last days for a worthy cause. Quit giving it to the money changers. Quit letting the thief steal. Give it to Yahweh. Bank in heaven. Lay up your treasures where the thief don't break in. Yahweh knows the money changers. He knows how crafty they are. He knows how evil they are. They're fixing to devalue our money, looks like. The dollar's not worth anything anyway. We can't be trusted around the world. Nobody wants our debt anymore. We can't sell debt. Talk about we need to borrow money. If you borrow money, you got to have a nation to loan it to you. China, the latest victim, is wising up. Japan, to whom we're indebted to through bonds, they're going to start demanding to be paid. What are you going to do when the Green Reaper comes after you? The Green Reaper. That Federal Reserve guy is going to demand a piece of the pie. He wants his share. He's going to tax you to death and then tax you for dying. Tax, tax, tax. That's what they do. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Paul up in the great state of Michigan. 1-800-253-2748. Tell him Pastor Buddy sent you there. Also Brother Bud in the great state of Mississippi. We appreciate our radio sponsors, Brother Martin, down in the great state of Mississippi. Praise Yahweh for those who love Yahweh and they love His truth, which is forever settled. Christ encountered the money changers. You're encountering them today. And the news is not good. They grow rich and you grow poor. You know why? Because they're liars. And they're thieves, and they broke through in America to steal, and we give them a green light, starting with the three men that formed the first sanctioned bank in America. It's now grown into the Federal Reserve banking system, owned and controlled privately by 3% of the world's wealthiest people. Go to Wall Street, Goldman Sachs, a Federal Reserve money operation. They all operate and are controlled by the international bankers. Well, Yahweh bless you. Call me tonight. Area code 423-351-1082. Go to our website tonight. Brother Bob's got it up and running. That'll be oneyahweh.com. We love you, and I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on the 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time hour. I'll join you. I hope and trust you can find your way to join me. I love you tonight, and Yahweh bless you.